They were called, at the beginning, the Jazz Crusaders, and then they appeared at a jazz festival, and they changed their name. They appeared at the Pacific Jazz Festival and decided, we'll shorten this name that we have, and they just called themselves the Crusaders. That was something called sweet water, or agua dulce, and it's the title track of their 1965 album, Chile con Sol, Chile with Soul. They shortened the name, and they haven't looked back since. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead, and we pick up from where we left off just yesterday, except we are going to have a slightly different format. This would allow us to give you more space to include things that would give more meaning to your answers as we go. I know you don't get it just yet, but pretty soon you will, as soon as we get the first question answered. Hearing that Letitia James, the Attorney General of the state of New York, is going to announce, supposedly, her candidacy for the governorship of the state of New York. That's pretty fast, a fast climb. And no surprise to anyone listening to this program, we kind of predicted that. But this is outrageous, outrageously fast. And this is what is going on in politics now. You get a sense as you look around and you figure out where people are. They have some strange ideas about what not only they can do, but what they are entitled to do. She just basically got into the job of the Attorney General, and already she wants to make a move to a higher level. It's nothing wrong with having ambition or anything like that, but we have a particular problem in the United States with politics and people's ambitions. And it doesn't matter to them, really. If you look at the whole world of politics now, nobody cares about the ramifications of what they do or, you know, what is the sensible thing to do. Nobody cares about that. They do what they want to do, and they're hungry for power, hungry for it. And it doesn't matter to them necessarily, you know, what they have to destroy in pursuit of that power. They just want it, and they're entitled. So I thought we'd spend a little bit of time with this question of what exactly was Letitia James after when she started her political career? Is this just raw power, the ascendancy, the most rapid ascendancy? And is it about building a trail for others to follow? What exactly is it? Or is it just, elect me. I want this job. I ought to have it. And I'm qualified to have it. Well, all of these things are debatable. And in a sense, it contributes to the overall problem that we are experiencing as a nation. We have a political system just stuffed with people who have personal agendas. That's it. They don't care about, you know, building movements and having plans and moving methodically from one stage to the other as a party. They don't care about that. It's about them. And here we have a good example. I mean, Letitia James is a very bright person. You don't get to be the Attorney General of a state and be dumb. She's a bright person, no question about that. And you could even go to the extent of saying she's entitled to pursue her dreams, her personal dreams and aspirations, and there's nothing wrong with that. But as we discussed on this very program, what did I say? What did I say? When we talked about the fact that we have to look at Letitia James, this is long before any talk of running for governor. What is this lady about? What is the investment she's making in the aggregate progress of the community? None. It's all about me. Me, 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 me. That's what I want, and I'm in a position to get it. I'm going to take it. A kind of avarice that has permeated politics now. It is normal in the United States for people to think like this. It's about me. Trump is a fantastic example. Nowhere in the logical world would Donald Trump have a chance of being elected if people were to judge him or to examine him in an objective way in terms of what is it he is bringing to the table for the whole. No, Trump isn't about that. He's never been about that. He doesn't want that. Trump wants no responsibility for anybody except himself. And it is a characteristic that seems to be growing and taking over the realm of politics. Politics used to be about, you know, if I'm elected, all these things will be affected, and I will improve these things. It doesn't hold at all now. It's just about me. Elect me. I want the job. Give it to me. Why? Why should we give you something simply because you demand it? And nobody asks, well, what are you bringing to this to this effort? What can we look to you for? What is your version of leadership? We discussed Letitia James' version of leadership. It has to do with her getting what she wants. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how people are seeing it now. There's nothing wrong with that. At least she's being honest and open and saying, well, I qualify for this job, and I want it. Give it to me. You see? And you look around and you see many examples of that. And that is what is becoming more and more the American version of political leadership. Has nothing to do with the people or what you can do for the people. It's about give it to me. I qualify for it. I want it. I deserve to have it. That's the mentality of Curtis Sliwa in New York City. The young man who had started up this thing called the Guardian Angels. He corralled a lot of young people, women and men, and they were essentially citizens, basically trying to serve the public, to keep them safe and so forth. It's all about Curtis Sliwa now. He's running for governor. He thinks his time has come. And, you know, you have to laugh in a way. Let me see if I understand your reasoning. You decided to start a citizens group of young people. And you're patrolling the subways and the streets and so forth. And you were very helpful. That was a very helpful thing. And that makes you qualified to be the mayor of the city of New York. Have you taken any courses to prepare yourself about how the city runs, how it works? How is it that you, by yourself, you determined that you uniquely qualified to be mayor of the city of New York? And if New Yorkers had any sense, they would elect you. That's the other part of the arrogance. If you care to go through in your own mind the number of notches the city of New York or cities like New York have gone down because you have substandard people. Personally, they may be very nice people. But there's a thing called preparation and how you make yourself capable of running a city. You have no experience there. None. You know you as a guy who was wearing the red berets and, you know, doing everything possible to draw attention to himself. Okay, we get that. And we can't deny the fact that you put in a good bit of time in service of the community to keep people safe. But does that make you a good candidate? Does that mean that you know all of the ins and outs of how a city like New York, which is a huge and complex city, runs, and that you're the one who should run it? When we discussed Letitia James, we talked about the fact, because all she's been talking about is, of course, these victories she has won, that now put the onus on companies. You know, for example, in this opioid case, where she won against three major opioid manufacturers and distributors, and the end result was that they agreed, the companies, to chip into a common pool $1.1 billion to help with the crisis, to avert it getting even worse. Okay, that's admirable. But as we discussed on this program, nobody's going to jail. And we had more than 500,000 deaths associated with the opioid addiction. Nobody went to jail. Nobody's going to jail. Nobody's paying that much of a price. Because it was far more sexy to extol your own virtues. Look what I did. I've got $1.1 billion, and I put it in the kitty, and now we can help those people with opioid addictions. That's not the point. The point is, you did nothing There's nobody who's been punished here. There's no crime. Even as an attorney general, you have not identified a crime being committed, let alone the price it costs, not the $1.1 billion and life goes on. This is a crime. She did nothing in that regard. It was important that people know her to be, a fierce negotiator, got $1.1 billion to put in the kitty. Oh, that's great. Meanwhile, how is this justice as regards the more than 500,000 people who are dead because of opioid addiction, and they're dead because the drug had been made so easily available by the very same people that she's praising today for putting in serious money into the kitty? You see what I'm talking about? Now, that's the fight. From my perspective, that is the epicenter of the fight. You're the attorney general. You took on these cases that were high profile, got a lot of press, and it allowed you to rise rapidly up the ladder of success. But people are not paying attention to the substance here. You have yet to show your prosecutorial skills. You have yet to show that you're a serious prosecutor. And now it is said that you're preparing to make this announcement that you are going to run for governor. So what do I care? I might as well nominate myself. Because with all your skills and all of your expertise and all of your experience and whatnot, you haven't done a damn thing in terms of identifying who should be prosecuted and making sure they go to jail. In the name of the name of the 500,000 people who are dead. You see, this is where I differ markedly. People are all excited, and they'll get excited. Oh, she's a black woman. Oh, look, we would have the first black woman in this role. I don't care about that. I care that despite the fact you showed no competence whatsoever, and what really mattered, you will get the help you want. You will succeed with your own private agenda. And the hell with the people. Well, you know, they were good to have as props. And people will conveniently forget these things. And the issue is the first black woman being elected. That's not the issue. She has underperformed spectacularly at a job for which she supposedly was quite qualified, but did nothing to render justice. See, that's how I look at things. I'm not going for that, you know, the press release. That means nothing to me. Let's look at how you applied yourself and how you served the community in this dreadful situation. You didn't serve the community, you served yourself. You sent out news releases. Oh yeah, you're the hot number now. Oh yes. So look out any day now. There may be an announcement, and people are going to be so excited. The women from the sororities and so forth, oh, they will be very, very happy to hear this. And people will be organizing themselves to elect the first black female governor in the state of New York. Yeah, but what has she done for you? We got to grow up, people. We have to grow up. This isn't about politics. This is about personal agendas. Like Curtis Sliwa. There's no doubt in my mind that he is a very public-minded individual. And he wants to make a difference. All of that is established. And he has a record. He has put his money where his mouth is. Many years. But he can't run a city. Who are we kidding? Can he run a city like New York? What has happened to our brains? What has happened to our ability to think? People who have been in the business of politics in the city of New York can't bring themselves to making a decision to run because it is such a daunting prospect. Oh, you just jump in and the race is on. Look what we've gotten so far with that formula. You have Bill de Blasio. We have Rudy Giuliani. We have the worst kinds of examples of leadership. As far as these people are concerned, they're done learning. There's no more to learn. They just want the profile, the public profile, and to stay around as long as possible to get a lot of pictures taken. Okay, so I thought I'd start off with that. And I thought I would ask you a couple of questions that should provoke some thinking on your part. Are you optimistic or pessimistic about life in America today and in the foreseeable future? What informs your point of view? Do you have reason to feel optimistic, or do you believe you will be pessimistic even if you gave it some thought about the way things are going and what the end result is likely to be? Do you feel excited about the future? Not just for yourself, but for all of us in a city. Is a city going to feel better about itself and do better? Do you think that's going to happen? And what informs your point of view? Another question. Would anything cause you to consider moving out of the country and living elsewhere, given what we have been experiencing? Where would that elsewhere be? How would such a decision affect you, you think? What do you desire most out of life that you haven't yet achieved? What has been in your way? And finally, what is happiness for you right now? What is happiness? All right, we take this little break, and when we come back, we get into your answers right after this at 888-874-4888. You're listening to Lead Stories on PRN.FM. I'm Eutrice Lead. And today we're just asking some questions, wanting to know what your answers are. Curious to know, because things are moving. There's a lot of movement going on. But does it have anything to do with you? Is it something that would benefit you and the city as a whole, where you live? Or is there something different happening here? 888-874-4888. All right, so let's see, who's up first? Oh, I'm looking at my... I don't see any names here yet. Ed from Queens, you're on the air.
Hey, good afternoon, Eutrice.
Good afternoon, Ed. How are you doing? Oh, I see the names now. Okay. Go ahead.
You know me and the phone's still here, still hanging.
You and yourself, hanging in by your thumbs. What an image.
Hanging. Yeah. Oh, you put a lot on the plate today, pertaining to your questions. Well, as far as the first question, I believe we're in the decline of empire. I mean, I believe America is going down the tubes fast and furious, and I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel. I mean, nothing, I don't see any political movements that are of any substantial basis making the inroads that are necessary. I don't see the coalition building. I don't see the political awareness. I mean, I just, it's just people go from one reaction to another. An event happens, protest, and then it dies. Our politicians, like you said, are all caught up in themselves. They're more celebrity rock stars than actual public servants, and they don't present anything other than either false achievements like Letitia James or grandiose personality like Curtis Sliwa. They don't present anything that they're going to do for the common good. So, I mean, and that's overall, from Washington, D.C. to locally. And that being said, I've already considered a long-term plan on leaving this country. My personal preference is St. Martin. That's where my grandmother and my grandfather came from. I visited the island on several occasions and looked into real estate there. And then that's, as a long-term goal, if I'm still around, that's where I'm probably going to wind up.
Wow.
I think I can have a modicum of peace and tranquility there with minimum savings. And there is some land in the family that can be cultivated, and that me and some of my relatives are in the process of doing that. So in the not-too-distant future, I might just wind up there, because I'm like Stevie Wonder. I've had enough of America. It's too much disappointment. So that's my future long-term 5-year, 10-year plan. God willing, and the creek don't rise, as a friend of mine says.
Well, I just... Do you feel sad that you have come to this conclusion?
I mean, on a personal level, yes. I mean, there have been. I mean, it's just this country is in such disarray. And my personal opinion is that people lack the intellectual fortitude to even comprehend it. I mean, just on a personal level, you can't even have a decent political conversation. You can't agree, you can't disagree with somebody without emotions or feelings getting involved. And, you know, I mean, from an intellectual standpoint, that's no way to achieve anything. You can't react with your heart all the time. You can't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And a lot of people are doing that. Everything from cancel culture to personal politics to electoral politics. You know, somebody makes a mistake. You got to have room to grow. You got to have room to educate yourself. You got to have room to maneuver. And people don't understand that. It isn't an all or nothing thing. This country didn't come out of an all or nothing thing. It's got a lot of bad. It's got a lot of good. But the only way we move forward is by compromise and rational intellectual discussion to come to a consensus and a point. That's what politics is about. That's what life is about. That's how you achieve. And people don't understand that concept in the largesse, as far as my personal observation goes.
Does it not depress you that with all that the country has going for it, including the possible intellectual capital that it has, that this is just the same where we are right now? And it's a kind of like a low point.
Well, the fundamental problem from my perspective is this. You can have a lot of information, but knowledge requires information and time and the ability to process it. You can have a lot of food, but you won't know the food is good if you're just eating it. And that's what people do. There's a lot more access to information. There's a lot more access to content, but people don't have the intellectual ability to digest it and to use it. You know, calories are nothing if you're not exercising. Knowledge, information is nothing if you don't apply it with knowledge. And people don't understand how to do that anymore. I don't know if I have my personal beliefs that it might have been a process of the powers that be to dumb down the society. They were very successful. The lack of competent education, the lack of things used to be a passion. Like in the priesthood, they used to say you had a calling to become a priest, or you had a calling to become a pastor. It was beyond just a desire to get a job. It was a vocation. It became something that you were interested in, that you learned about, that you learned the facets, the ins and outs of. And that's what gave you the knowledge to perform well. And these people don't make that investment. They just don't make that personal investment in the pursuits that they are trying to achieve. And that's why we get this cult of personality, these popular people hoping to aspire for offices. Curtis Sliva has no business running for mayor. What does he know about being a mayor? I mean, he has no political background. Donald Trump had no political background whatsoever. We have people taking offices that have no political background, no social background whatsoever, as far as social service or altruistic service to the public.
Wow! Thank you, Ed. Thanks for getting us started today. Reggie from Brooklyn, you're on the air.
Hello, Utrice.
Hello.
Yes. Hi. I think I've called in one other time. I used to in the 90s listen to you every day on Talkback, and that was one of the best periods in general. And I read the City Sun many times. I mean, I actually bought it every week. So I'm really familiar with your work. I think you're one of the great investigative journalists and one of the great minds that I've run into. I'm 60 now. I'm a native New Yorker. I've always been in Bedford-Stuyvesant. I'm a musician. I hate to say it, but I am, for the country, I'm rather pessimistic. But on the other hand, being a musician that makes his money from playing live gigs and touring to a limited degree. Others of my friends tour a lot. It's not much better around the planet. I'm not even talking about, you know, I have musician friends of mine, music business friends of mine that are pretty much all around the world, and have been to, you know, and right now, I would say don't leave New York. I mean, if you're in New York City or in, you know, if anything to me right now, the place that's actually doing well, or at least relatively well, is the Northeast, you know, and my theory is that the people that really run the planet live in the Northeast, you know? I don't necessarily talk about the politicians, but, you know, the banking, Wall Street, a lot of the IT people, they may appear to work out there, the high levels of it, the NSA, you know, the Susan Rices and those people, they live in the Northeast, you know, upstate, Beacon, New York, you know, Rhode Island, Maine, places like that. That's where these people live, you know? And you would, you know, I actually did a tune about that at one of these open streets gigs where, you know, now one of the things that's really hit musicians hard already is the vaccine mandate, which I'm totally opposed to the vaccine mandate. If I get a major tour, I will take the Johnson & Johnson. I have not as of yet, but I can take it at any minute. You know, if I have to take that tour, I'm all for extreme testing and, you know, social distancing. I think it's ridiculous where people, you know, the at least the
Democrats. You're giving us a litany of things that we're not asking you.
I'm sorry, I missed your last statement.
What is your answer to what question are you answering?
Oh, your question about pessimism and optimism. So, as a United States collective, I'm pessimistic. Although, on the very local level, electorally, India Walton in Buffalo is really a good candidate. I mean, is actually a school nurse activist. That maybe she shouldn't have said socialist, but before that, I'm aware of. I have musician friends in Buffalo. India Walton is the real deal. She's on the Democratic slate. She knocked off the four-term do nothing mayor, black mayor. This is a black woman nurse, and she could win, but she's getting no support from, like, you know, the Democratic anybody. You know, they won't support her, you know. And so I think because of people that I know that live there say that she's actually the real deal community activist with her platform. I mean, it's a great platform. I mean, so I'm hopeful for candidates like that, although Nina Turner in Cleveland, Ohio, who actually raised a good deal of money and also and was a state senator already, got sabotaged. They did a Cynthia McKinney on her. All of this dark money came in from what do you call it? Israeli supported interest. Like 3 weeks before, she was 30 points up, but before that, she was like 30 points up, you know, and she just made one slightly sympathetic statement to the Palestinians getting bombed in the Middle East there by Netanyahu. And that's not even her main issue. That was just a offhand comment. So, I mean, there are local people in the United States that are running, but they're like running. They might have to run in the Democratic Party, but they're not really this whole corporate Democrat thing is dead. You know, I mean, for myself, after the vaccine mandates, I don't think I could ever vote for any Democrat that supports that ever again. I mean.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for contributing today. Thanks
yes,
for calling
thank
in.
And thank
Brother
you,
David,
for,
from Brooklyn.
Doing your-
you're on the air.
Good afternoon, Utrice.
Good afternoon.
Brother David is going nowhere. He's going to stay right here. That's it.
You're staying put.
I'm saying that for a couple of reasons. I know that many people who decide to leave, let's say, New York and Brooklyn, where I live and love, you know, after a short time, maybe half of them want to come back. So, you know, you wish to go somewhere else, but you don't know that you're going to really like it, and you want to come back, and sometimes there's nowhere for you to come. In my case, I want to be near my family. And my family is in this area in New York, New Jersey, and so forth. And I want to be near my family. And I feel that the way I live here, I like living that way, and I really don't want to go anywhere else and start all over. And so I want to stay right here, recover from all the damage that has been done to me by poor medical treatment, and I've survived that. And my goal is to be productive, to keep writing and speaking and reaching centurion. And I want to be centurion at least. And I know that only less than 2 out of 10,000 people in this country reach there, but I'm headed that way. So I'm gonna eat right. I'm gonna continue to be a vegetarian and a vegan most of the time. And I'm headed in that direction. And I want to not check out there until I'm in those 3 digits. So that's where I stand and those issues.
What does politics mean to you now?
Well,
come through so much.
Oh, yeah. What does politics mean to me? Well,
yes.
As I see the politics that we have here, we have basically a system of that is a one-party state. That's the way I see it. That's my opinion, with 2 divisions. And things are in control of the plutocrats that run the country, and people get to vote and so forth. But the nature of the system here, it is pretty much under the control of a ruling class that has very good control over the masses of people, and they control the masses of people for their own interests, and that's where people stand. So people have to realize where they live and how things really work. And most people don't know that. And the nature of the system, all the information that people get, have been able to get, basically does not show them how things really run. And that's the way I see it. And the politics are under control of the ruling class. That's the way I see politics.
Okay. Well, thank you. Thanks a lot. You know, this is a question that hounds us all the time. And we talk about it all the time, but not necessarily with a sense that we have the definitive, the definition of it. We know what it's about because it changes all the time. And it would help. It would help a lot if we take some time to figure this out. What kind of a political person are we? I mean, what does it mean to be a political person? What are we hoping to achieve in our own way and in the ways of pooling together with other people? Are we achieving anything? Or are we still stuck in this idea that at election time, one person is supposed to stand out as the figurehead? We don't know these people. We don't know what they're thinking. We don't know whether they're qualified. And it seems to me that in these last few years, we have had more than enough of this. We have people who have no experience. They have no intention of spending time garnering experience. And they just, because people think that, yeah, you should run. That is not the way it's supposed to go. When you elect somebody, you're electing a fighter, somebody who is familiar with the community, knows the issues that are important to the people there, and who has something to offer. Except, you know, we get a lot of people who, what they have to offer is a thirst for power. That's it. They're not going to go to school. They're not going to hunker down and take classes. They're not going to, get ready, psychologically ready for this thing called public office. They believe, well, I went to college, I have a good degree, or maybe I didn't go to college. But I want to run the city, and that is good enough. That should be good enough for everybody. The fact that I want to do this. It's come to a point where it's almost laughable what we have passing for political leadership. People who can't even make sense of the reality they're living in. They're actually living in it, and they can't make sense about it. Sense of it. So where does that leave us? What has politics become? It's a kind of mockery. Okay, we're going to elect you governor. What do you know about governing? What do you know about the process of it? Most people think now that, okay, I can manage it. Because when I'm governor or when I'm mayor, I'll have a whole staff who will advise me. I just have to go along. I'll have some ideas of my own, but I could survive without actually having to study the political arrangements in this city and what I have to navigate every day to be effective. They're not interested in that. They just want the office. They want to stand in front of podiums and get their pictures taken. And the community is suffering, at least in my going around, they're suffering in ways they never expected to suffer before. You know, the issue of schools, good health care, the issue of a safe neighborhood. These are the things that, the nuts and bolts things that people are looking for answers to. And then we have people just posing. Oh, I'm mayor. Okay, so you're a mayor. You're pretty uneducated mayor. I understand that you're a mayor, so we have to put up with you for a couple of years until we repeat the cycle all over again. It's very disheartening. And there's got to be an answer other than the Democrats and Republicans. It's a formula. Its time has come and gone. There needs to be something else. And we the people, we the famous people, we need to step up to the demands of the day. We can't continue the same stuff that has been going on for decades, thinking that way, and things have changed so dramatically. You're out of step. You can't meet the demand. So we have to do something. We have to get exercised about it, and don't feel embarrassed. You have to know how the city council works, how the state assembly works, how the mayoralty works. You've got to learn basic civics again and get ourselves ready, because look what we've got. There's only so much that anybody could expect out of people who are completely ill-prepared. They're not in a position to make good decisions because they don't know anything. All they wanted was simply to get elected to a particular office, and that's enough for them. Meanwhile, the schools remain a horror story. Healthcare remains a horror story. Housing remains a horror story. But they feel good because they've got a title and they can call press conferences. We gotta really examine this thing and get it identified. What is it that we are expecting from politics? Do we need necessarily to be involved as we have been, or do we involve ourselves but in a completely different way? We can't continue. This is crazy. I want to thank you for calling in today and giving us the benefit of your thoughts, and we'll talk again some more tomorrow. Bye-bye.